Charles Haley has joined us on Sports Byline, voted into the College Football Hall of Fame. He is the only player in NFL history to have been on five Super Bowl winning teams. And before we talk about the Dallas Cowboys, let me ask you about Eddie DeBartolo. They called him affectionately Mr. D, but what is it that he brought to the equation that made the 49ers so successful?
Hey, he brought individuals. He treated every player like we were part of his family, like we were his kids. And that's what made it special. And he always had that big smile, and he always gave you a hug, man. You know, and he was man enough to look you in the eye, you know. And, you know, he never passed judgment. And, you know, he never said, hey, I need you to work harder. He just blessed us. He told us, you know, hey, you know, and he rewarded us for whatever we did. You know, he would take the whole team to Hawaii when we won the Super Bowl. He did the little things, you know. And you know, when I go through, you know, the championships are great. But, you know, damn, you know, coaches like Coach Walsh and Eddie DeBartolo, you'll never forget those guys. And they did little things for your family and for friends that nobody else would even think about doing. You know, that's when you know people care about you.
I remember when I sat beside you in the box while we were both watching the Seattle Seahawks game against the 49ers, and having been here in San Francisco and covered you when you were with the 49ers, I really felt that you had come to peace with yourself because you left the 49ers somewhat under a cloud after a disagreement with George Seifert and also with quarterback Steve Young. And you came to later understand that you had a bipolar disorder. When you look back about your time in the National Football League, but particularly with the way you left the 49ers, are there any regrets? Are you happy that you found out what the essence of what the problem was and the discomfort was for you, Charles?
Hey, you know, I think when, you know, I never had a disagreement with Steve. You know, my life is like this, man. You know, I'm gonna make a statement. I'm gonna say what I believe, and then I move on. You know, people can hold what they want against me, but you know, I see what I see, and I call a spade what I call. You know, I'm a Joe Montana man. Okay, so it nothing's gonna change that. Okay, Joe, when I came in as a rookie, Joe treated me like a man from a rookie. So Joe earned my respect. You know, I'm not just going to give that away. You know, you got respect is not a given. It's earned. So, you know, I'm not giving anything. You have to earn it. You know, when I went to the Cowboys, Troy had to earn that. You know, people had to earn that respect. You don't just give it to them. I had to earn other players' respect. So, and then, you know, my thing, you know, I had a chance to talk to George. George didn't understand the mentality that I had at that time because he wanted me to be more of a leader, more soft-spoken. You know, hey, that wasn't my deal. You know, and I told him 10 different ways, and he still didn't understand, and he kept pushing. You know, hey, you know, and I guess, you know, I guess my fuse was burning on both ends, and then, you know, it's too late, you know what I'm saying? Things get sad. You know, feelings get hurt, and it's too late, you know, so there was no going back.
You went on to the Dallas Cowboys then where you had great success there as well with those three Super Bowls in 4 years. And you're tell me about the organization, how the two organizations compared, meaning the 49ers and the Dallas Cowboy organizations. What were the pros and cons of each, and how were they similar to or different from each other?
Well, you know, as owner, from the owner standpoint, you know, Jerry Jones and Mr. D, they put that money where their mouth is. They wanted that franchise to be great, and they were willing to pay for that. You know, I think that you know, head coaching wise, you know, Jimmy was a great motivator. You know, he was a great coach. You know, the biggest key for the Dallas Cowboys was that they had more talent on that team than I ever seen in my life. And you know, when I stuck my head out that door, I saw a bunch of stallions running around. Bunch of stallions, man. Hey, you know, you can't go wrong, man. You know, hey, so, you know, that was different. And then the attitude that we brought to the table, man, the winning attitude, you know, Jimmy instilled that as a head coach, you know. And so, you know, you had a great owner, and Jimmy instilled what winning attitude, hard work, and dedication was. So, and from that standpoint, it was great. The difference between it was the 49ers, Bill Walsh always brought back guys that played before to pass on the legacy of what the standards of the 49ers was. And at the Cowboys, we never got to see the older guys. So, you know, you kind of miss that legacy. You know, I think, Jimmy and them wanted to start their own legacy, so it kind of kept out the older guys. And what you need that you can't have a future unless you understand your past. And when you deal with guys that played at a high level before you, and you don't give them the opportunity for the young guys to learn from, then you're missing out.
Another thing too, Charles, is, as you know, the West Coast is pretty laid back, but you get down to Cowboy Land down in the state of Texas, and I mean it is just wild down there. Can you describe to people what being a Dallas Cowboy player in Dallas and in the state of Texas is really like?
It is a football state. It's a Bible state. You know, God is first and Dallas Cowboys is number two. You know, and a lot of them book, they hold both of them up at the same. And when you walk out, man, you got that star on your forehead, man. They worship the Dallas Cowboys here, and I've never seen anything like it. Nowhere, no state, nowhere, no kind. It's like it is the Dallas Cowboys following. I remember my first year. I don't think I paid for a food or a drink my whole first year or a few years that I was here in Dallas. Man, it was like everybody was coming by, just buying everything for you. You know, it's just crazy. It was just crazy.
Let me ask you about the five Super Bowls, because in talking to players who have played in the Super Bowl, particularly those that have won Super Bowl championship rings, there's always a favorite memory at some point in each game. In the ones that you reflect back on, the ones that you can remember, what are some of your favorite memories about your Super Bowl winning efforts?
Well, I tell all the young guys this, is that, you know, you could be on a team and you can have great success, but a lot of times you don't believe what you're going through. You know, in my first Super Bowl with the 49ers, I didn't realize that Jerry Rice and Joe Montana and Roger Craig was on that offense and Brent Jones, because when it was down with 40 seconds left, I was sitting on the sideline with my head down crying because I thought we had lost the Super Bowl. And I didn't realize who I had out there playing for me. And then when, you know, Jerry caught a couple of passes, Roger caught, and then the ball started going down the field and the fans started going crazy, then I realized what I was playing with. And then when we scored, man, you know, from that day on, I had total faith in the people I played with. And so that's one of my biggest memories is my first Super Bowl, is Joe taking the ball all the way down. It made me a believer in men and in my team. Okay, the last Super Bowl that I remember is my last Super Bowl, because, you know, I had back surgery. In 2 weeks, I came back after major back surgery, and played in the Super Bowl against Pittsburgh. And, I told the defensive line and defense that I would never forsake them, man. And I don't think they understood when I said that, the commitment that I had, that, you know, that I wouldn't leave them. And, you know, and I came back and did that.
What do you think your legacy as far as a football player is, Charles?
Hey, man, legacy is for other people to write, and it's not for me to write. You know, all I know is, you know, I play with my heart. I made total commitment. I never qualm about anything. I just came out and played hard, you know, and I tried to make people around me play with the same inspiration.
Was it hard for you to walk away from the game, which had been such a large part of your life?
Hey, it's hard for anybody to love the game they play to walk away from it. But, you know, at some point, you know, it is what it is. You know, your body can't do it. And I realized that when I came back to the 49ers the last time, when one of those young kids came up and hit me and it hurt, then I realized, oh, my God, I never felt that before. So I knew the end was there.
No, you're absolutely right. But the thing I loved about you is the passion that you played with the game. And I'm wondering how you were able to maintain that passion for such a long period of time. We got about 30 seconds left.
I just think that, you know, God instilled in me a great work ethic, and then, you know, I just loved the game. I would have played for free. I loved it.
Charles, I want to thank you. You deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, and not only in the College Football Hall of Fame, but also in the NFL Football Hall of Fame. Congratulations, and thank you for sharing some time with us here on Sports Byline.
Hey, Ron, thank you. You have a great day, okay?
Charles Haley with us. He was drafted in the fourth round by the San Francisco 49ers. He came out of small James Madison University back in 1986. He was a former NFL linebacker and defensive end who played 12 years in the National Football League with the 49ers and the Cowboys. And again, that significant stat, he is the only player in NFL history to have been on five Super Bowl winning teams, two with the 49ers, three with the Cowboys. We continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.